Well, good morning. Before we look at God's Word this morning, I'm going to be sharing from Ephesians chapter 5, and it's just a shorter message in light of spending time with Joe and being able to hear from him this morning. But I wanted to encourage you, and it ties in with what Joe has shared with us, and it ties in with his life story as well. And so it's just a short message, but I believe that God has something to say to us this morning from His Word, as He always does. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that it brings conviction, that it changes lives. And so, Lord, today as we hear Your Word, I pray that You would change us, change our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the one thing that Joe did when God spoke to him, he had a conviction: there's more to life than being a special ed teacher. There's more to life than pursuing this career that I'm on. And he actually did something. He didn't say, well, God is speaking to me, and I think there's something. No, he downsized. He started selling things. He started changing. And then he signed up to take a school. He actually moved and did something. And every step that he took was a step in faith. And he's taking steps this year in faith as well as he moves forward. And so the challenge to us today, what is God calling you to do in 2019? What steps of faith is God asking you to take in 2019? That perhaps you didn't see coming. Perhaps you didn't have any idea that God would use this. But what is God calling you to do in 2019 in obedience to Him? So Ephesians chapter 5, I just want to spend a few moments looking at 10 verses. Well, actually just one in particular, but verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5. If you'll open your Bibles, I'm going to refer to this passage a lot today. But starting at verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you will walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It seems that this year end has come very rapidly. This year has gone by very quickly, it seems, and it's always a time at the end of the year to have a time of reflection and look back and say, this is what happened in the last year. And then a time of looking forward and saying, well, let's make some resolutions. Let's make some commitments. What do I want to change in my life? What do I want to commit to doing in 2019 that I didn't do well in 2018? Now, my cynical self says, if there's something that you're waiting until Tuesday to begin, you're not going to do it. At least you're going to do it for a while, but if it's something really worthwhile, like changing your eating habits or spending more time in prayer or sharing the gospel with your neighbor, if you didn't do it the moment you were convicted of deciding to do it, waiting till Tuesday is not going to change anything. So New Year's resolutions are something that I tend to take very lightly, because if it's worthwhile doing it immediately, do it now, is important. But life is short. This life that we live is literally made up of millions of decisions of how we spend our time. Every day you make decisions of how you spend your time. And years come and go. And how you spend your time is the most important thing you can possibly do. Many people try to spend their time entertaining themselves, wasting time. You know, you'll never have somebody on their deathbed saying, Man, I regret missing those last two episodes of NCIS. I really regret that. I wish I'd done that in my life. Or you'd never have someone on their deathbed saying, I regret I didn't make more money. You never have someone on their deathbed saying, I regret not sharing more of my personal life on social media with those around me, with strangers that I don't know at all. The things that we think are important in our life today, when you come with the finality of the end of life, you realize they're not really important. But I believe that rather, the vast majority of us, when we come to face our final moment, we'll regret spending time watching TV. We'll regret spending time entertaining ourselves. We'll actually regret not sharing the gospel with our family, with our neighbors, with our friends. We'll regret not taking those opportunities that God gave us. In fact, we'll regret not taking those steps of faith that God presents to us. Every day He presents to us opportunities to take steps of faith, to step out of our comfort zones. You see, when we're faced with the reality of the shortness, the brevity of life, what is really important stands out. And what we spend our lives, what we are consumed with doing on a day-to-day basis for the most of our lives, is really not important. It's not valuable. In this letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesians church, he's pleading with them, he's begging with them and saying, get back to God. Get back and allow the light of God's word to shine on your life. Put away your lifestyle of sin and focus. Allow God's light to shine on you so that sin is exposed. And Paul is saying so that you can walk in freedom, so you can know what it is to walk in the light and to walk in freedom and peace. And in verse 14, Paul paraphrases what could be Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. He says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I know Ed and Mary Newstrom aren't here this morning, and if you'll continue to be praying for Ed as he goes through his treatments. But that's his favorite verse to pray when we pray on a Sunday morning. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I believe this is the call to the 21st century church. The days are evil. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The days are rushing by. It seems like the world is spinning out of control. Everywhere we look, we see chaos. We see things being turned over. We see norms that we could hold fast to that no longer apply. And we say, what is going on? And I believe Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. So this spinning that we see around us, the chaos that we see around us, is just the foreshadowing, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, of Him coming again. And we as a church need to wake up. The church globally, the church universally, needs to wake up, because Jesus is coming again. And we're missing out on the greatest opportunity to share the gospel, because when Jesus comes again, you cannot share the gospel with your neighbor. Now is the opportune time, and only now. Paul says in verse 16, and this is the verse I want to spend some time looking at today, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Now the ESV makes the translation, that's the version that I'm using, of the Greek word exogorazo, which is a fancy word, but basically says making the most use of the time. But the King James Version translates it redeem the time. Redeem the time. And that's a better word if you look in the Greek dictionaries. Redeeming the time is basically purchasing something, paying for something that was kept into bondage, or paying for something that was in slavery, setting it free, redeeming it. The word here is like a lien on a property. So if you go to the bank and you try and borrow some money, and the bank says, what have you got in collateral? And you give some land as collateral, that land is in bondage. It's bonded to that loan. And literally what this word redeem means is to pay off the loan to free the bondage of the land. And that's what Paul is saying. You need to free your time. Set it free, because you're in bondage. You're in slavery to all the things that are entrapping your life. Slaves were set free by a purchase price. When slaves were set free, there was a price to be paid. There was a price to be paid for their freedom. And when it comes to time, we're enslaved as well. And we need to pay the price to set ourselves free, pay the price to set our time free. Charles Hummel calls this the tyranny of the urgent. The tyranny of the urgent. Those things in life which aren't important, but when we leave them, they become urgent. And they have tyrannical control over us. Oh, I have no time because I've got all these things I've got to get done that I put off doing yesterday because I was watching TV yesterday. And I left things, I put things off, and now suddenly the things that are really important, spending time with family, visiting loved ones, caring for the elderly, those really important things, sharing the gospel with my neighbor, I don't have time for, because I'm under the tyranny of the urgent, because I've put off things. Every single day that we have is a treasure chest. When you wake up in the morning, it's a treasure chest that we just got to dig into and get the treasures that God has for us. We get given a 24-hour treasure chest every day. How do we spend every minute of that day? You know, we were singing, it's your breath that I breathe, or that I'll pour out my praise to your name. God gives us every breath that we breathe for every minute of a day. How do we use that minute? How do we use that time? How do we dig into that treasure chest? Do you value the time that God has given you? Do you really value what He has given you? The Bible calls Jesus our Redeemer. Jesus is our Savior, but He is our Redeemer. You know, not only that, though, we tend to think of Jesus as our Savior, and we say, yes, I know He has saved me from eternal separation from God. Jesus has saved me because of the cross and the price that He paid. He set me free from eternal hell. Yes, that's great. But Jesus is not only your Redeemer for eternity, He's your Redeemer for today. He set you free for today, for this moment that you live. We're not living for the future. We are living for the future because we're storing up treasures in heaven. But how we spend today, how we are freed up today to spend the day to the glory of God, is what puts those treasures in heaven for us. Job says this in his declaration in chapter 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." Job could say that hundreds, if not thousands of years before Jesus was born. What a declaration. He knew his Redeemer lives. Do you know that your Redeemer lives and He walks with you, redeeming your time, redeeming your life, setting you free from the bondages of your life? That is who we have in Jesus Christ. He paid the perfect sacrifice for a debt we couldn't pay. Only Jesus could pay that. And as Joe shared, if you were the only person on the earth, Jesus would have still paid your debt. He would have still been your Redeemer. He would have gone to the cross for you. Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that we were bought with a price. You realize you're not your own. You were bought with a price. You were redeemed. You were set free by Jesus. And he continues in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." And we don't need a reminder to see that these days are evil. Just turn on the news and you know, spend 5 minutes watching the news. You'll see that the days we're living in are genuinely evil. There's a lot of evil going on. Paul writes this, though, further in Ephesians 6, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So what are we supposed to do? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live this life? Do we just idly sit by and allow the world to dictate to us how our days go? Do we idly sit back and allow things to happen to us? Or do we realize that we've been redeemed? We've been set free. And we have the presence of God in us, leading us, guiding us daily to make a difference for those around us because of the gospel message. And Paul says, don't just sit idly by and allow this darkness to dictate you, but he says, make a conscious decision to do good works. Make a conscious decision to use your life, to spend your life, to spend your time. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You were placed where you are for a purpose. You are placed exactly where you are for a purpose. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have breath in your lungs, God has a purpose for you for 2019. There is a purpose for your life. You've been bought with a price. You've been redeemed. We need to be using our time for the glory of God. So how do we redeem the time? In just a few moments, because we only have a few moments, look at it. But how do we redeem the time? I'm just going to look at these verses 17 to 21. Verse 17, and if you'll follow along in your scriptures, it says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The best way to redeem the time is to allow God to lead you, hearing His voice, letting God lead you. Waking up every morning, as I said a few weeks ago, say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And allow Him to lead your life and lead you. That's how you redeem the time. Begin the day asking the Lord for direction and allowing Him to lead your life. Verse 18, the Bible says, do not get drunk with wine. And we read this and we simply think, well, that is just applying to alcoholics, right? Doesn't apply to me. I don't drink, so this verse I can kind of skip over. But as I was praying over this, I said, Lord, how does this apply to those who do not drink and those that do not get drunk with wine? Well, why do people drink to get drunk? In order to escape the reality of life, the suffering that they're going through. So alcoholism, as in any addiction, is an escape method of getting away, of hiding from the things that are troubling us, the things that we're struggling with and wrestling with. Escapist habits could be anything, could be playing video games, could be watching sport, could be drinking, could be drugs. Anything that you do to escape the reality of life is exactly that. It's getting drunk. It's hiding from the reality rather than giving that reality to God and allowing Him to use it. He has His presence in you. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God, daily asking the Lord, yes, these issues in my life are tough, but I'm going to confront them with the Lord. I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm going to go forward with the Lord and allow Him to transform the situation around me. I'm not going to hide from them. I'm not going to escape from the situation, but I'm going to give it to the Lord and allow Him to lead me. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purposes. Verse 19, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Does this mean that we should walk around singing to each other all the time and constantly singing and not having any conversations without singing? I see Albert laughing because he loves to do that. He's got a theme song for every situation. No, the reality is, and just to clarify, a hymn is not a song that was written 200 or 300 years ago. A hymn is a song of praise. It comes from the Greek word hymnos. It's declaring the goodness of God, the praises of God. And so what he's saying here is spend your time declaring the praises of God, sharing testimonies with each other. What Joe and I did up here, we were declaring the praises of God. Because we were saying, how did God lead you? What has God done? What is He leading you to do? We're giving glory to God for His direction, for His leadership. So we should spend time redeeming the time by giving praise to God, by allowing God to be praised through our lifestyle and our life. Verse 20, we redeem the time by being thankful, living a life of gratitude. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spending time thanking God for His goodness, giving Him the glory and the praise, thanking Him for what He has done. 2018 has been a pretty turbulent year for many of you. I know it has, but allow God to give you a heart of gratitude for what He has done, for what He is about to do. Live a life of gratitude. In verse 21, we redeem the time by serving one another. Paul writes, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It doesn't mean that we have to be doormats. As we've been looking in the book of Philippians, what Paul is saying here, submit to one another, is basically preferring one another, honoring one another, putting others first, as we saw in Philippians chapter 1. That's what he says. That's redeeming the time, allowing God to use you to prefer others, to put others first. Because when we focus on ourselves, that's not redeeming the time. We need to be focusing on what God has for those around us. I could go on listing examples from the Bible of how we're called to live to make the most of the time, how we're called to redeem the time that God has placed us. But the bottom line is, we were bought with a price. We were redeemed. So our lifestyle needs to reflect that redemption. Our lifestyle needs to reflect redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity that God has given you. We are purchased by Jesus to live for Him. This is why whenever I preach about the gospel or speak about sharing the gospel or decisions for Christ, I make such a great emphasis on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because becoming a Christian is not just a matter of saying, yes, I raise my hand in a meeting or coming forward in a meeting. Becoming a Christian is submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. That and that alone is what qualifies to be a Christian. It is becoming, submitting yourself to the Lordship of your Redeemer. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be led by God for your life. Being a Christian is not simply a get out of hell card. It is living a life of redemption, being set free daily for His purposes, for His calling on your life. Do you know the purpose of God for your life? Do you know why He called you? Do you know why you were saved? If you don't know the why that God is calling you to, you need to spend time in prayer asking Him. Firstly, asking Him, do you really know Him as Lord and Savior? And then saying, I want to follow You and Your plan for my life in 2019. Allow God to lead you. God has a purpose for you in 2019. He does have a plan. He does have a purpose for you. And it is far greater than anything you could ever imagine. But it's going to require some steps of faith sometimes. It's going to require getting out of your comfort zone sometime. It may require you to do something that you never thought you could do. But God's going to lead you into that. Both Joe and I are sitting here today saying, 10 years ago, we had no idea that we'd ever be sitting on a stage in front of a church, speaking to a church. I had no idea that I would ever do that. But God just led me one step at a time. And He has the same plan for you, maybe not to be a pastor, but maybe simply to go out and share the gospel with your neighbor, with that loved one, that family member of yours. What is God calling you to do in 2019? It's going to take some rearranging of priorities. As I was thinking about this, and this is going to be a very bold statement, you know, what commitments can we make in 2019 that'll have the greatest impact? And we can talk about committing to be part of the evangelism team, committing to prayer. But to husbands here today, I want to speak specifically to husbands today. Give you one thing that'll have the greatest impact on your marriage. One simple thing. You're all ears. I challenge you, as I'm challenging myself, to read one chapter of the Bible to your wives every night. Just one chapter a day. Just read it. Let the word wash over your wife. Read the word of God to your spouse. And I promise you, it'll transform your marriage. Because it's God's word. It is powerful and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. So allow, I challenge you, men, as I'm challenging myself. Let's try that this year. Commit to reading God's word to your families, to your wife. And wives, you hold your husbands accountable to that. Debbie's not here this morning, but you can hold me accountable to that. But if you don't know where to begin, if you don't know where to start and say, well, it seems like such a vast, open blank slate for 2019, where do I start? I challenge you, I invite you to come and join us on Tuesday. We're going to be spending time in prayer in the chapel. And the chapel will be open from 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock on Tuesday, New Year's Day. So if you stay up late, you can come at about 10 o'clock. But we'll be here from 8 o'clock. You can come for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or an hour, or 2 hours. But the purpose of that is to provide a setting where we can just spend time in prayer, corporately, individually. There'll be worship music playing. Just bring your Bible, bring your journal, and just spend time before the Lord. And commit the year to the Lord. I feel it's so important for us as a church to say, Lord, what do you want us to do in 2019? What would you have us to do as a church? The potential is incredible if we say we want to serve God in our community and in this world wholeheartedly as a church for 2019. What does God have for us? So please consider that. Come and join us in the chapel on Tuesday. So as we close, we're going to share communion together. And I feel it fitting that we end the year focusing on our salvation, focusing on the price that Jesus paid for us, the importance. This is the essence of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so as we share communion together, I don't want you simply just to go through the routine and say, well, I know we need to eat the bread and drink the cup and we'll hear some scripture on it. No, I want you to take this personally. And if the Lord is leading you today, if you're someone that is committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life, partake in this today. Join us in this today. This table is open to everyone that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if you're committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want you to partake today. And there's no shame in saying, I'm not ready, I'm not at the right place right now with the Lord. I'd rather you not partake. But as we look to the new year, I want you to take this seriously. So we're going to have you come forward and take the elements and then take it back to your seats. And as the music is playing, just to quietly pray and commit to the Lord as you partake of the elements together. But that's just between you and the Lord this time. But if you're not prepared to make that commitment, don't feel pressure, because everyone else around you is getting up and moving forward. But I want you to partake, because I want you to make the commitment. I want you to see everything that God has for you in 2019. Let us enter this time around the table prayerfully. And again, as you get the elements, just go to your seats and just partake in your own time. And then we'll close by singing together. But let's pray together. Lord, we don't want to come before you and just go through the routine of this time, Lord. We want to make a commitment. We want to commit 2019 and the rest of our lives to serving you, Lord. So, Lord, as we partake of these elements, help us to hear you speak to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd give us courage, you'd give us boldness to take these steps of faith that we need to take in the new year. But then again, Lord, to be everything and to do everything that you've called us to do, laying aside the things that are wasting our time. Lord, show us how to redeem the time in our schedules, we pray. Lord, I pray a blessing over all the families that you've placed here. The families that are represented here. Lord, may you bless us, your church, in 2019. We pray that the gospel message would go forth from this place in power. The light of Jesus would shine on Kansas City from this place. So, Lord, we commit to be used by you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.